Congress moves to keep AM radio on the dashboard. REC finds flaws in the bill. A translator license is restored because of complex demands by the Media Bureau. And we may be finally getting closer to another LPFM filing window. All this and more on a very long and very unnecessary hiatus. And now we're back. FCC Today. Let's do it.
REC.
This is FCC Today, the podcast for Thursday, May 18, 2023. A bill has been introduced in the Senate and the House that, if passed, would require automakers to assure that AM radio is prominently available on the dashboard of new vehicles. The bipartisan bill, which is being led in the House by Josh Gottheimer from New Jersey's 5th District and in the Senate by Markey of Massachusetts and Cruz of Texas, comes out of concern by the broadcast industry as a result of past decisions by Tesla and other auto manufacturers to remove AM radio from new vehicle models. In addition, Ford Motor Company recently announced that they plan to remove AM radio. The language for the bill calls for a requirement that states that the Department of Transportation, in consultation with FEMA and the FCC, conduct a rulemaking which would require devices that can receive and play content transmitted by AM broadcast stations to be installed as standard equipment in motor vehicles manufactured in or imported to the United States or shipped in interstate commerce. The dashboard access must be conspicuous to the driver. The law also states that while the rulemaking is pending, automakers will be expected to place labels on new vehicles to advise prospective buyers that the vehicle does not include an AM radio. A loophole in the law further states that an automaker can satisfy the AM reception requirement by including the ability to receive only AM digital broadcast stations. The law defines AM digital broadcast stations as those that broadcast Xperi's HD radio, but has a specific exclusion for AM stations such as the Gamut WWFD Frederick, Maryland, which broadcasts in MA3 all digital HD. In a statement, FCC Chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel supports the legislation, saying that having an AM radio in our cars assures access to emergency alerts and key alerts while out on the road. NAB President Curtis Legate states that the legislation assures that tens of millions of Americans who depend on AM radio for news, entertainment, and critical safety information each month can continue to have access to this reliable communications medium. In a blog post, REC Network supported the concept of requiring radio receivers in vehicles, but opposes the legislation as written. REC stated that the bill does not go far enough and should also require FM radios with HD capability, and notes that the HD loophole language in the current bill will prompt some AM licensees to activate or reactivate hybrid HD services on their AM stations at night, which in the past has caused substantial adjacent channel interference that could impact the ability for some listeners to lose nighttime access to more local AM stations due to noise and digital hash from AM stations in distant cities. REC called for the AM radio bill to be rolled up into a larger piece of legislation that would more widely address the future of radio in an effort to keeping the service relevant, especially in the face of competing streaming and satellite radio services. In the FCC's May open meeting, the commission voted to adopt more flexible rules for the 60 gigahertz band for unlicensed field disturbance radars for applications such as detecting hand gestures, emergency drones, and alerting drivers of children left in hot cars. The FCC also extended the types of service providers subject to robocall blocking rules and is moving forward on a proceeding that would expand spectrum in the 12 gigahertz band for new 6G wireless services. The full commission also reinstated the FM translator license of Absolute Broadcasting's W235 Alpha Foxtrot, Bennington, Vermont, after the license was canceled because, according to the Media Bureau, the station did not transmit signals for more than 365 consecutive days. In their defense, Absolute claimed that the station did resume operations for a short period of time and then went back off the air. However, the Bureau did not accept their explanation as Absolute could not provide payroll records or utility bills demonstrating the station did return on the air, thus prompting the application for review. The commission found that the Bureau erred in their decision as it was difficult to demonstrate these kinds of things in a shared site environment for an FM translator. On tap for the June open meeting, the FCC will look at adopting notices of proposed rulemaking to expedite the transition to next generation 911, strengthen the ability for consumers to decide which robocalls or robotexts they would like to receive, and decide how the 42 gigahertz band will be used. Also on the agenda is a restricted adjudicatory matter. While we cannot confirm it, it is very possible that this item may be a set of decisions related to the objections filed in the aftermath of the 2021 filing window for new non-commercial educational FM broadcast stations. There are currently 18 groups of mutually exclusive applications which are still under contention, with most impacting the point system. Unlike decisions involving fair distribution determinations, which can be handled by the Media Bureau, decisions involving the point system must go to the full commission for handling. If this decision involves all of the remaining MX groups from the 2021 window, this will pretty much finish up the processing of applications in this window, freeing up the Media Bureau to work on other things, as the FCC currently lacks auction authority due to issues raised by Congress over handling of the 3.5 gigahertz C-band. There's a good possibility that the next major activity at the FCC will be the long-anticipated filing window for new low-power FM broadcast stations. The last LPFM window was held in 2013. Representatives of qualified nonprofit organizations and government agencies who wish to check for potential LPFM channel availability and to put in a show of interest for REC to handle their LPFM application during a potential future filing window should visit lpfm.app. That is lpfm.alpha-papa-papa, lpfm.app. Today. There was no excuse. Okay, I'm not going to make an excuse because, well, you know, I haven't been doing this for quite a while and decided to come back. So here we are. FCC Today was brought to you by REC Networks. I'm Michelle Bradley, SBE Certified Broadcast Technologist. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of FCC Today, and hopefully we'll see you here soon. For now, visit the official website of FCC Today. That's fcc.today. Visit our main website at recnet.com. Show your love there. REC.